There's a particular thing, and that I'm believing that I'm getting towards the season for this particular thing. You know, I don't want to necessarily go into all kind of detail, but anyhow, there's this one thing, and I'm getting my faith on it. Amen. Amen. Do I need it to survive here? Absolutely not. But that hasn't stopped me before. Has it stopped you before? Now, if you believe that God's only going to supply just my absolute essentials, and there's people that believe that, and lie and say the Bible teaches that God's only going to supply your basic essentials and you can't expect more than that. And they'll say, well, after all, God only promised to supply our needs, not our wants. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that preached. Raise your hand now. You've heard that preached. Keep it up. I want to see. You've heard that preached. Me too. We've all been lied to. Yeah. Doesn't the Bible say, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want? Psalm 34 says, there's no want to them that fear him. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you just the basics that you need. I think I better just get on task on some other areas here. Praise the Lord. Because I could go this direction real easily. So anyhow, I will finish the story. There's a certain thing that I'm believing God for. And it does have four wheels with it. And they make them every day. They make them nice. They make them stripped down. They make all different kinds. Hallelujah. And anyhow, I was at the grocery store, and I saw somebody else pull in right behind me, in that color. I didn't say it was a car, in that color, and the model, and I thought, man, that thing's nice. And then I saw, you know, I was looking on my way out the car, and I see on the back windshield they have these big letters that says "Dirty White Boy." And I just thought, if the dirty white boy can have one right off the lot, why can't man of God, woman of God, servant of God, huh? Why does dirty white boy get the new? And then man of God gets to get it after dirty white boy's done and try and scrape his lettering off. Or woman of God, or who, you know what I mean? Yes, sir. Let's just change our thinking here and realize that God didn't make everything that's nice for the drug dealers to get. Exactly. I'm not saying, amen. There are folk that don't serve God. Amen. And have the nicest boats. Well, sometimes that boat's their problem. That's what's keeping them from serving God. And if that's the case, you ought to get rid of it as fast as you can. And there's Christians that have things that keep them from serving God. And you ought to give it to me. Why do I say that? Because I'll serve God and have it. I will not serve it. I promise you, I've come over that hump. Amen. And if I find myself serving it, I'll give it away to somebody that won't serve it. Glory to God. Church is kind of fun today, isn't it? Glory to God. But when you get over the fact that I can serve God full, and if it's a tool that's going to help me and assist me, enable me to do his will better, enable me to get things cut faster on the lawn. Come on now. Amen. Praise the Lord. If it'll do it faster, if it'll do it better, why not me? Why not me? Well, can I preach? Can I cut this off right here and get right into our sermon today? All right. You have your Bible. I want you, you're in Psalms already. Go to Proverbs 10. Praise the Lord. Amen. And since you said you've come to receive, I want you to give me some time this morning. Yes, sir. Amen. I can see it looks like all I can see from here is it looks like the sun's out. Amen. But you know what? God will multiply your rest of your day. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it seems to me like the folk that start when I'm leaving for church and they're already out there working on the beds. You know, when I come home, they still hadn't made much progress, it doesn't look like to me. I don't know. Seems like if you'd honor God and put Him first and give Him the first of your time, that you can get home and, amen. Or you can get, amen. Or you can come home from work and somebody's cut your lawn, spent 4 hours on it, manicuring it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10. Now, we've been talking about a particular subject called the blessing of the Lord. Amen. And I have just a little bit more to share with you along these lines. A little bit more I think the Lord wants to impart to you. But yet, in some respects, we could say this would be the most important part of it. Because we're talking about how you and I are going to be able to receive just like Abraham did. Just like Paul did. In fact, I want to talk to you today. I'll get to it in a second. Verse 22 has been our text. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. And He adds no trouble to it. I want to read this to you out of the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. How many believe it? Yes. How many believe it? The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. In case you think we're just talking about money, rich means a lot more than that. But it includes provision. It includes. You can't say somebody's rich and they can't pay their bills. That's not rich. The word rich, if you look it up, it means a full supply. Amen. All you need and then more. Amen. Your full supply. And the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Now, if you believe that being rich isn't for everybody, then you just got through saying that being blessed is not for everybody. You just got through saying that the blessing of the Lord does not belong to everybody. So that must mean there's some people that are going to be blessed, and some people that are not good, and most people that are not going to be blessed. Because you look at most Christians, you don't think, whew, blessed. You follow them around, you don't think, wow, the blessing of the Lord. What is the blessing? The blessing is that which comes from God in your life and on your life that multiplies and empowers you to prosper, puts you up, puts you ahead. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. Glory to God. Christians are not to be just like the world around them. Christians are a different species. Yes, we are. You're a different species. You are not human. You are a human with God in you. Yes. That's a whole different class of being. Amen. Of course, we're not promoting that you're supposed to think that you're better than everybody else, because the Word doesn't teach that. Word tells us to consider others as better than you. Hallelujah. So we're not exalting, you know, we're not exalting your intellect or anything today. We're just saying what's in you is amazing. Also, I want you to look at our other text then. Galatians chapter 3. We'll look there. I want you to read these scriptures today. And then I think I'm just going to only be able to begin sharing with you what I had for you, because we've said other things. And you believe that we'll just give you what's right for today. Amen. Hmm? No less and no more than what's right. It's not good to overeat, is it? Now, you can't have too much of the Word. But a minister can go beyond what he's anointed to do that day. Amen. We're not going to do that. We don't do that. In most cases, we'll be here. You'll be here again next month. Did you catch that? Next service. When do you go to church? One word. When do you go to church? Whenever. Whenever the doors are open, we go. Whenever. Galatians 3 says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Is it true, brother and sister, that Jesus has redeemed us from all that is a curse? Amen. He hasn't redeemed us from what we could call the curse of the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden, because the earth has to change for that full redemption to come into play. That will happen one day, but not while you and I are alive here on the earth in our present condition. Understood? Amen. You will have a different body when that happens. You will have a whole different set of circumstances. Amen. And the Bible says some about it. Doesn't say too much, because that's not where we're living right now. Amen. We're not in the sweet by and by. We're in the sweet here and now. Amen. That's what we want to. We want to function successfully where we are right now. Praise the Lord. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Turn to somebody. Tell them you're not under the curse today. You're not under the curse. Oh, glory to God. I'm not under the curse. I'm not under the curse. I'm not. But that's what he's redeemed us from. But guess what? Like that Ginzu knife commercial. But wait, there's more. He's not just redeemed us from what was bad. He redeemed us to something. He redeemed us. Amen. He delivered us out of what he did so he could bring us into something that we'd never had before. And what is it? He redeemed us in order that, two words, say it, the blessing given to Abraham, or we could say it this way, some translations do, the blessing as Abraham had it. The blessing. What does the blessing of the Lord do? It makes us not a blessing from the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, the one variety that he has. Amen. He redeemed us. And so that blessing. And if you don't know what that blessing contains, it tells us right here. See Abraham. The blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ.
That's right.
Now, Abraham's natural seed, the Jews, they already had it promised to them. But when it says Gentiles, that means everybody else that wasn't part of his natural lineage. So it tells us right here, it's God's will for everyone to have this blessing like Abraham had it. That means it is his will for every Christian to have a full supply. Which means it's his will for all of us to be rich. I know it'd get me kicked out of most churches to say that. Amen. But I didn't say it. I didn't say the blessing of the Lord makes rich. I'm just repeating it. I didn't author that. I didn't say that the blessing that makes rich is for everybody. Galatians did. Paul did. Write him a nasty email. Withhold your tithe from him with a bad note. It's been years ago, but I did get a note in the offering envelope one time. There was an offering envelope and a note in it that said, Pastor, I can't pay my tithe until some things change. Things changed. They left. They were upset. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I haven't gotten a note like that in years. That's a pretty good track record, right? He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How's that going to happen? Look, so that by faith, everybody say by faith, by faith we might receive the promise. That's how Abraham received Abraham's blessing. That's how Paul received the blessing. That's how anybody else that's ever received the blessing. And big revelation today, brother and sister. That's how we'll receive the blessing. And if we don't do it that way, by faith, receive the promise. If we don't do it that way, should we really be expecting? No, we'll still be praying unscripturally. Lord, send it down. Lord, rain it on me. Lord, bring it by. just waiting on you. When my ship comes in, ship hadn't left yet. See, that's not faith. That doesn't qualify. One more scripture we looked at, Romans 15. Now, if you're not regularly with us, we haven't started the message yet. We're just reading our texts. So this is not subtracted from my preaching time. Hallelujah. And all it means is you're getting more for your blessed buck. Amen. Romans 15. Now we saw the blessing at work. Let me just say this real quick. We saw the blessing at work in Abraham's life. That's why it's in there. And we saw eight things that the blessing did for Abraham in his life. I'm just going to tell you real quick. Number one, the blessing made Abraham rich. I'm not talking about like, you know, just gave him rich feelings. Or gave him some kind of rich spiritual experience. I mean, the man was what we would call filthy rich, but we don't want to be filthy rich. Amen. We want to be rich with no sorrow. And Abraham was, man, financially and materially, the man was absolutely loaded. Didn't spend all his time looking for a clearance sale. Didn't need to. Well, okay. Number two, the blessing made him self-sufficient. The blessing made him impenetrable to the enemy. The blessing multiplied his influence. The blessing kept him physically. Oh, thank God for what the blessing of the Lord will do to your body. Amen. And keeping you free. The blessing increased as his faith increased. That was six. Number seven, the blessing caused the people close to him to be blessed. And then number eight, the blessing caused the people who weren't close to him but were around him to be jealous and notice. Now, Romans 15, last week we read this scripture. And I don't know about you, it just, I'm still trying to get over last week. Well, no, we're not trying to get over it, are we? No. But just, it's still ringing in me is what I'm trying to say. Verse 29 of Romans 15, Paul said, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Some would say, what an arrogant statement for Paul to make. How could we say we know we'll be blessed? Well, if you just believe the scripture we've already read, you ought to say, I know the blessing's on me. I'm expecting the blessing in its fullness. And we saw that Paul, those circumstances came against him in terrible ways. He overcame every time, and he arrived to his destination, not just alive, but with the fullness of the blessing in his life. Oh, man. And we just time doesn't permit us to reiterate that, what we did last week. But listen, if the blessing's on us, is it? Yes. He redeemed us so that it would be. If the blessing's on us, why not have it in its fullness? Don't be satisfied just with a portion of it. God's not satisfied with just a portion of it on your life. Jesus isn't satisfied with it. He paid for us to have it all. Why should we have less than all that he paid for? And somebody always seems to say, well, I just don't want to bother the Lord. Then receive what he gave you. It will irk him to keep saying, well, I just don't want to bother him. No, you're saying you don't want to get close enough for his light to shine and show up everything that's going on. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Father. The fullness of the blessing, the full thing, the maximum is available. Don't let anybody tell you you can't have it. Yeah. Pastor, I'm on a fixed. Ah! Well, we have limited nothing. Paul had it in its fullness. Why can't you? Abraham did. Why not me? Why not us? And the blessing has already been given to us in the form of promises. And we've seen clearly that what we must do is take these promises and by faith receive them for them to become reality in our lives. Now, that phrase "receive by faith" is what I've been trying to get to today. I want to tell you a little bit about what that means, because people can think, okay, receive by faith. Sure. How do I do it? What is that all about? What did it mean for Paul to receive the fullness of the blessing? How did he do that? It meant that he had to use his faith to overcome what looked like the curse and get it turned into the blessing. Amen. And you and I will have that same privilege. Yeah. Yeah. Faith has to do with holding on to what God said when it looks and feels like it's going the opposite way. That's how Paul received the blessing. That's how Abraham received the blessing. That's how Will received. And we want to see how Abraham, particularly today, I ask you to go to Romans 4. We want to see how Abraham received all that he did from God. We've already seen and we've already recited to you what he received. But are you interested to know how he did it? Are you interested to know how he got it? Romans 4. Praise the Lord. Let's start. You could read. Matter of fact, you might want to make note to read the whole chapter. But we're not going to take the time to do that right now, because you know what will happen? I'll stop every few words and preach to you. And then we wouldn't get through. We wouldn't get to the part that I intend to. That happens here sometimes. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the 13th verse. It says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. That's kind of nice. But through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value. The promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16 says, therefore, the promise comes by what?
Faith.
How else can you get the promise? Huh?
Only by faith.
No, the promise comes by faith. All the promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen. In other words, on his end, the answer's already been given. Why would he give you the promise if the answer wasn't yes? But him saying it's yours does not mean you'll have it. It must be received how?
By faith.
That means you must know about it to receive it. Hmm? Now, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. You ready for this? And may be guaranteed. Everybody say guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Say it again. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring or seed. The blessing has been guaranteed to all his seed. You might say, well, I wish that was me. Well, that is you, because Galatians said that those who are of faith are the seed of Abraham.
That's right.
Glory to God. The promise. Oh, I'm about to get real excited. The promise has been guaranteed to you. The blessing has been guaranteed to you. It is never a matter of, oh, God, if you see fit, please do this for me. Please do that for me. Oh, please send a blessing, but only if it's your will. No, 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 no. Don't ever pray that way anymore. We have scripture that says he has guaranteed the blessing to us.
Amen.
Guaranteed.
Amen.
What's a guarantee? It's done. There's, yeah. If this thing don't work, you bring it back and get you another one. There's a scripture, we won't turn there, but over in John 14, where in the Greek it talks about, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And the word ask really shouldn't necessarily be translated ask, because it means to demand as your rights and privileges. And then when he, so if you demand or ask, demand as your rights and privileges anything in my name, really talking about demanding of the enemy. That's when you use the name, you know. And he said, I will do it. And in the Greek, that phrase, I will do it, it gives a bigger impression than just how it's translated. It gives this thought, if I don't have it, I'll make it.
Amen.
Guaranteed. This is guaranteed to us. This is guaranteed. Well, you can't be offering those people such false hope. No, offering false hope. We're putting a guarantee on it. It will work. I guarantee it. Who is it? Men's Warehouse, the guy that always, that's his phrase. I guarantee, you'll like how you look. I guarantee it. I don't buy his clothes just for that commercial. I don't want to keep hearing him say that. Praise the Lord. But the Lord said it.
Amen.
Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He's the father of us all. All meaning those who are of the faith of Abraham. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's what the Lord had said to Abraham. Now, keep in mind, when God told Abraham that he was the father of many nations, how many was he the father of? He and his wife had how many children?
Zero.
Zero. And the Lord said, I have made you a father of many nations. Is that past tense? Yeah. I have made you. I have done this. I have made you this. And he was old and had no kids. Okay, so that's what God said to him. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead. And calls things that are not as though they were.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
People get mad at Christians for doing that. Mostly other Christians get mad at Christians that do that. But who are Christians acting like?
God.
They're acting like their father God, and they're acting like their faith father Abraham. Gives life to the dead. What was dead in Abraham's case? Reproduction. What was not? What was not that had to be called as though it were? He had not, no children.
Right?
God calls things that be not as though they were. Verse 18, against all hope. Now, this is one of the best passages in the scripture that shows you how faith works. How faith operates. There's many scriptures that encourage us to have faith, aren't there? Didn't Jesus say, have the faith of God?
Yeah.
And gave us some illustration for sure, but this one gives us almost more detail than any other one about how the process actually works. When we talk about faith, we're talking about dealing with things that are not yet, things that are not seen, and getting them to the place to where they are seen and they are now. Anybody here, you have any things that are not yet in your life that you want?
Yes.
Any things that are not seen?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yep.
Then what's it going to take?
Faith.
Not the preacher's faith.
No. Right.
Not your wife's faith. Well, my wife's the spiritual one. We'll grow up. Well, my husband does the praying. Get with it. That ain't going to get you nowhere. Against. Now, I like that. You use your faith against things. I said you use your faith against things. Against the impossibility. And we're not talking about just when something comes and attacks you and that, yes, I'm going to stand against that, that you are using faith for that. But what about in this case where, you know, it wasn't necessarily an attack against Abraham, but the Lord said, Abraham, you and Sarah, y'all going to have a baby. And that's the word, and you got to take that word and believe it. Amen. What's he using his faith against there? He's using his faith against the impossibility.
Right.
Anytime you step out in faith, things are against you. Odds are against you. Even though it's guaranteed. We're not getting too complicated here, are we? Because it's pretty simple, actually. Anytime you set out to obey God and believe Him for what He said, you're using your faith against something. Come on, football, you have the offensive line. What are they against? The defensive line. And the one comes against the other.
Yeah, right.
And who's going to prevail? The stronger, the one with the best technique, let's just say it this way, the ones who are most prepared. The ones who are in the best shape, most prepared.
Right.
Not the ones who got out there and never even thought about it.
Right.
Didn't warm up, didn't stretch.
Yeah.
You're going to get run over so quick, man.
Yeah.
Again, so let's look at this verse if we could. You okay for just a few more minutes? All right. We have to pick up here because this is where I wanted to start today. And really, our time's more or less up. And amen. We'll see if you hang on for a few, and I'll just take a few. And against all hope. Against all hope. It was hopeless. Abraham in hope. What was he doing in hope? It was hopeless. Abraham used his hope against that hopelessness. Amen. Again, now the word hope in the New Testament, in the Greek, a better word or the best word that I know would be the word expectation. Expectation's a byproduct of your faith. You know, your faith will produce expectation in you. If you're believing God that it's coming to pass, then you're expecting it. You're looking for it. You're seeing it. And we could say it this way, against all reason to expect. Now, are you guys expecting any kids?
No.
No?
No?
No, you're not expecting any natural children, right? Okay. Didn't think so. Against all expectation, Abraham expected. Abraham expected. And it says, in hope or in expectation, he believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Well, that's the only portion of it. What the Lord had said to him was, count the stars in the sky if you could, which you can't.
Yeah.
Count the sand on the seashore if you could, which you can't. And so shall your offspring be.
Amen.
And at the time, he had none.
That's right.
He believed. I love this. He believed. And he became. He believed and he became. Oh, faith is so hard. Yeah, you have to believe and you'll become. Huh?
Well said.
Anything you want to become? Anything you want to be on the other side of? Anything you want changed? Yeah. You believe. Before you become. Now that's different than, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No. Look at verse 18. Look how Abraham did it. In hope, he believed. That was first. And then he became. Now actually, step one is this. Is at the end of the verse. Just as it had been said to him. That's step one, because you have to know what was spoken to you before you could believe it, don't you? Step one to receiving the fullness of the blessing is you got to know what's been spoken. Step two is believing it. Step three is becoming it. Against all hope. He had to use his belief. Amen. He had to use his belief against. Well, let's read on just a little bit. Verse 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Reproductively speaking. Since he was about 100 years old. You can see why. And Sarah's womb was also dead. Now, Sarah couldn't have babies when they were 20. That was the problem. It wasn't Abraham's problem. He did have a baby through a concubine. Amen. Which was out of the will of God. And causes problems for all kinds of problems. But without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. You know, faith is not denying the presence of contradicting circumstances. It's not saying I have no bills. I just throw them in the shredder and now I don't have them anymore. Because God supplies all my needs. I have no sickness. I throw the medicine out and say I have no sickness. I have no sickness. No, that's not. I like how he says it. The King James says he considered not. In other words, that he didn't dwell on the fact. This says he faced it. In other words, we'll say it this way. He got past the fact. But he had to face it. He had to say, look, I am aware that I'm 100 years. I mean, people probably, the devil will stir up people to be giving him over the hill cards for the last half century every time he had a birthday. You know, I'm over the hill, right? How many ever gotten a you're over the hill card? Well, you can be sweet, but throw that thing right in the trash. Amen. I don't buy those for people. And I don't take them myself. Amen. Don't buy me one. Hallelujah. Just give me the gift and keep the card. No, I mean, just playing. If it's a good card, thank you for the card. I appreciate the card. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Sarah's also. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He was strong in his faith, gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised.
That's right.
Amen. We'll get to the rest of that next time because there's too much in there. I could preach a week on each word there practically. But just that word against. Abraham had to face the impossibility that was against him. And he had to say, yeah, I see that it's this. I see that she hadn't been able to have kids. I realize that. But God said, so shall your seed be. And he used that word against the impossibility. And guess what won? I said, guess what prevailed? The word prevailed. The word will always prevail if we'll use it. But do you see how much was dependent upon Abraham?
Yes.
Do you see that Abraham, had he not done what we just read about, he would not be in the Bible as our example? Oh, yeah, totally possible. Totally possible. It was a tremendous amount on him. Was it hard? Technically, no. Hard to get past what your mind wants to say. Was it hard for the power of God to quicken their bodies?
No.
See, that's the thing. From God's standpoint, none of it's hard. It's all easy. You know, Jesus, there was a crippled guy there. And Jesus said, well, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise, take you up your bed and walk? He didn't say which is harder. He said, which is easier?
Right.
For God's power, it's both easy.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. I think that's, did we give you something to chew on?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Awesome.
Believe we've said some things that are important. We'll try to pick up there next time unless the Lord leads us a different direction.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Close your eyes, would you?
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for what you've given us.
Yes.
Thank you for the word of God, which is precious seed. We received this today. And Lord, we say that we see that faith is a huge part of us receiving from you. So we're going to be people of faith, and we're going to learn what it takes and then be doers of that in order to receive all you've given to us. Hallelujah. And we know that we'll show up in the fullness of the blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God forever. Hallelujah.